The Lord be with you. I really did not want to see these scriptures, yeah? Especially today of all days. You should know, and I feel like I've said this a lot recently, I don't pick the scriptures we read each Sunday. There is something called a lectionary that tells us what scriptures to read each day. Now that said, I could choose to ignore it, right? I could choose to say, this is not going to be what we need to hear on Blessing of the Animal Sunday, right? This is not going to build up the church. Let's just ignore it. And I will say this summer, I've had the privilege of getting to ignore all sorts of things because I went on a sabbatical for 3 months, which means emails, could ignore them. Committee meetings, could ignore them. People's problems, could ignore them. I could focus on what I wanted to see. Mountains and rivers and beaches. And I will tell you what, nothing makes you feel more like a king than getting to choose what you see and what you ignore. And the pinnacle of that this summer was that I got to spend 2.5 weeks seeing the subject I am perhaps most interested in this world, which is ancient Greece. I took my wife and my 2-year-old and we went 2.5 weeks to Greece. And I was so excited because since middle school, when my grandfather gave me a book on Alexander the Great, I have been fascinated with ancient Greek culture, and now I got to share it with my daughter. I was so excited. We stayed at this Greek institute, which was 10 feet from the beach, and so each night we would go to a little restaurant right along the beach, and we would eat food that was handmade. We ate fish caught from the sea just feet away from us. And I was so excited to share this meal with my daughter. But as you can see in this picture, my daughter is not in it. Because instead of enjoying this fabulous gourmet Greek cuisine, she was on the beach looking at rocks to throw into the water. Yeah, different set of priorities. I was excited because I got to go see museums that had artifacts from the Bronze Age, the mask of Agamemnon, one of the great characters from the Iliad. We could see the imprint of his face that was made after he died. And I took my daughter, and you know what she did? She saw how fast she could race up and down the aisles where all these priceless artifacts were kept in glass cases. The culmination of our trip to Greece was to go see the Acropolis of Athens, on which is built the Parthenon. I have, over the course of my life, literally spent months studying this because this is the pinnacle of classical Greek culture. I studied how the walkway up that rocky crag was designed to give people a maximum experience of awe. I studied all the carvings that are at the top of the Parthenon. I studied how they built the columns to curve because they're so tall, if you stand below them and look up, a straight line would look like it bends. And so they had to bend the columns to make it look straight as you stood there. And I got to take my daughter and show her how amazing this all was, except we went at the end of the day, as Rick Steves recommends, because it's cooler then and you get a nice sunset, but it had been a long day and she continually would refuse to eat when we would tell her to eat. So she was a little tired and cranky, and we thought, well, maybe we'll just let her run around, except, once again, that is a giant rocky crag. All the architecture is marble. There are no safety railings. So we realized, well, we can't let our daughter just run around on this place. Well, I'll carry her, except that I am her least favorite parent. Yeah? She really wants mom to carry her, except once again, this is a giant rocky crag. Everything is slick marble. My wife is also tired because this is the second mountain I've made her climb today. She said, Ben, it is not safe for me to hold Sophia. You have to do it. So I'm holding Sophia, which means Sophia is now wailing at the top of her lungs, shrieking. Snot and tears are pouring down her face as we go up through that archway that is designed to give you the maximum effect of awe as you go through. But I'm not looking at that. I am looking at my daughter having a breakdown, demanding that she watch her favorite TV show, Bluey, and my wife begins pulling out her phone to try to get a data signal so we can have her watch Bluey instead of looking at 2,400 years of culture. we're sitting in the dust, and I'm saying to my wife, what are we doing? We're here to look at the Parthenon. And she gives me a look that says, your daughter's meltdown is going to be the least of your problems, buddy. This is supposed to be the day that is one of the best days of my life, and it is rapidly turning into one of the worst. And I am asking myself, how did this happen? And the answer, of course, is I have a toddler. People try to bring very young children to Jesus, and his disciples try to stop them. And I totally understand why. Because we know what's important, what needs to be the focus of our attention, and our children don't. To them, everything is important. But we have work to do. We have kingdoms to build for their sake. The disciples, most of all, they're trying to build the kingdom of God. They need to hear Jesus' sermons to know how to do that. They need to study the scriptures. They need to say the prayers. And the kids are nothing but a distraction. And so they say, send these kids away. Get them out of sight and get them out of mind. It's honestly what's best for them. That's what King David does in 2 Samuel chapter 13. You see, David has just finished winning a civil war against the former king, King Saul, who was Israel's failed first attempt at having a king. And now David needs to reunify his kingdom because God has made him a promise that it is he and his children who will be remembered as the founding dynasty of Israel. David needs to focus on what matters, his kingdom, because if he does that, surely that is what will be best for his children. And so what that means is he doesn't see his children. He doesn't see how his son Amnon is acting very strangely around his daughter Tamar, because he's focused on what he thinks is important, his kingdom, what is surely best for his children. And as a result, his son Amnon rapes his daughter Tamar. When she is raped, she comes out and covers herself in ash and tears her clothes and refuses to be silent. But David still doesn't see his daughter Tamar. Because to see his daughter Tamar would be to see the sin of his other son, Amnon, who is his firstborn son, who is the heir to his kingdom, the one who is going to carry on his dynasty and his legacy. And so David chooses to just keep them both out of sight and out of mind because he needs to focus on what is important. He needs to focus on his kingdom, which is surely what is best for his children. Because David refuses to take action, to give justice either in comforting and protecting his daughter or to give justice in terms of holding his son Amnon to account, one of his other sons, Absalom, comes to hate Amnon. Comes not only to hate Amnon, but to hate David for refusing to do anything about this travesty that has happened in his own household. But David doesn't see Absalom's hatred. David doesn't see Absalom's hatred because to see that hatred would be to acknowledge that he, as a king and as a father, has failed. And he doesn't have time for that distraction. He needs to focus on what he thinks is important. He needs to focus on his kingdom, because if he focuses on his kingdom, surely that is what will be best for his children. Two-thirds of all cases of sexual assault go unreported. And there's many reasons for this, but among those top reasons are a recognition that people don't want to hear about sexual abuse. There is a recognition that people don't want to be labeled for the rest of their life as a survivor of sexual abuse. Tamar, when her brother rapes her, says to him, "Will at least marry me." He rejects that offer of marriage, and she says, you know what? You refusing to marry me is worse than raping me. Because in her culture, Tamar will now only be known as a woman who was raped. And in her culture, no one will ever want to look at her again for any reason. To her, that is worse than the violation her brother has given her. And the truth is, that desire to look away from what is unpleasant, to only focus on the things that are important to us, is still prevalent today. It is why we hear about celebrity after celebrity, after years of sex trafficking and abuse, finally being held to account. Because what we want to see when we turn on the TV is happy, successful people who entertain us. And we look away from everything else. It is why there are over 27 million people still in slavery around the world today. Because what we want to see in our kingdom are cheap pedicures, cheap clothing, cheap chocolate that's made for us by people who are not free. But perhaps the place that it is most grievous that people have been looking to build up their kingdom is the church. Over the last couple decades, we have heard story after story of churches that have known abuse has happened in their midst, and they have chosen not to see it because they say, you know what's important is the kingdom that we are building up. And if we build it up right, it will be what is best for our children. So let's just keep them out of sight and out of mind because they keep distracting us. King David thought he was doing what was best for his kids by focusing on only seeing his own kingdom. But the next chapters of 2 Samuel prove that to be a lie. Because what happens is not only has David refused to see the behavior of his son Amnon and resulting in the rape of his daughter and her desolation, because he refuses to bring justice to his son Amnon, his other son Absalom takes revenge and murders Amnon. David refuses to see even that. And so ultimately, Absalom raises a rebellion and starts a second civil war against David. David, when he eventually is in a position to defeat his son Absalom, tells his generals, "This is my son, don't kill him." But at this point, his general Joab, you may remember here from last week, has lost all respect for David. And when the general Joab has a chance to kill Absalom, he takes it, explicitly violating the king's orders. At the end of the story, David not only has a daughter who is now in despair, he has two sons who are dead. And he ends this story by saying, "Oh, Absalom, my son, oh, I wish that I were dead instead of you, Absalom, my son. When we focus only on building up our kingdom, we end up losing what is most precious in it. Which is why Jesus says to his disciples, "Let the little children come to me and do not stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as them." We think we know what is important. We think we know where our focus needs to be, and children are a distraction from that because they think everything is important. And so they pull us into places we don't think we have time for. But Jesus tells us that sometimes what is actually important in God's kingdom is not the things that are important in ours, and children can help us see that. Because here's the thing, when my daughter refused to eat all that good Greek food I wanted to feed her, what it meant was I had to go and find food for her that she would eat, which meant I went to a grocery store to get a processed cheese stick. Or more accurately, my wife went into the grocery store to get a processed cheese stick. I couldn't take Sophia in because she would grab everything off the shelves, yeah? So I stood outside that grocery store in Greece where I got to meet this man, a man with mental illness, who said, would I please take his picture so that I would remember him on my journey to Greece? Because he too is part of God's kingdom and is precious in it. And when I went to those museums to see all those ancient artifacts and my daughter would race as fast as she can through them, what it meant is I didn't get to appreciate those artifacts, but what I saw instead was a little Italian girl who started to race my daughter at the same time. Her name is Sonia, and she is part of God's kingdom and she is precious in it. And when I went to the Parthenon and thought the most important thing I could see on that day was marble 2,400 years old, my daughter shrieked and screamed and demanded that I see her because she is more precious than any building in God's kingdom. Jesus tells us to welcome the little children. For it's only if we receive the kingdom of God as one of them that we will enter it. Children are like scriptures. We think we know what's important, but little children and the scriptures will tell us what is truly important. And neither of them have the decency to tell us what we want to hear. Instead, they tell us the truth, even when we don't want to hear it. I thought about not choosing this scripture for this week, even though it was assigned, and I realized to do that would be the same as King David, ignoring what I wanted to see so that I could focus on what I thought was important. But the scriptures are given to us so that we could see the truth. And the truth is, that when this story was written so many years ago, David had a daughter named Tamar. He refused to see her, but she refused to be ignored. She said no to her brother, and when she wasn't strong enough to fight him off, she demanded that the world pay attention to her. She stepped out of her room and refused to hide in shame. She covered herself with ash. She tore her clothing. She made noise. Because she knew that even if she didn't matter in David's kingdom, she mattered in God's. And the truth is, Absalom, so many years ago, was willing to raise half a nation in rebellion against his own father, because if his own father did not think it important enough to protect the innocent and vulnerable, Absalom knew in God's kingdom, the vulnerable are precious. But most of all, this story about the beginning of the kingdom of Israel, about the kingdom of David, it tells us the story of this tragedy as a reminder that the Bible is given to us not to build up the kingdom of David, not to build up the kingdom of Israel, not to build up the kingdom of any denomination or even of us as individuals. It is given to us to build up the kingdom of God, in which every child is precious, because every child has a heavenly father who is perfect, and for whom every child is precious in his sight. This week, you will encounter children, maybe here at church, maybe at home, maybe at the grocery store, and they will distract you. They will take you away from all the things that you think are most important, and they will want to show you something that you think is not. This week, I invite you to look at what they want to show you, to receive them, and with them, to receive the kingdom of God. Amen.